We don't have an absolute or definite Afrocentric slant to our homeschooling. Well, first of all, I don't use any sort of curriculum. I just pull ideas out of my head. It just seems and feels natural to me to include a different perspective on anything that we are looking at or studying.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
My name is Suzanne. I'm married and I have 5 children, a 20-year-old son, a 15-year-old son, an 8-year-old son, a 5-year-old daughter, and a 4-year-old son. And we've been homeschooling for, this is our 9th or 10th year. I forgot. You lose count after a while. I'm involved in an organization called the Leche League, and one of the women who I worked with in the Leche League homeschooled her children, and she mentioned it one day, and I was so intrigued, as I often am, by things that I hear about for the first time. I had no idea that you could possibly do such a thing, but I was very intrigued by it, and she gave me some literature to read, and I gobbled it up, and then she gave me some more stuff, books and magazines and things, and I gobbled those up too. And I mulled it over and thought about it for a long time. I was a single mom at the time, I might add. And talked about it with her and with a lot of other people and read some more about it for about 3 years before I finally decided to have a go at it.
You're a person of color.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to just talk a little bit about how that is to be a minority within a minority? Or is that even an issue?
It's not an issue on a day-to-day basis because, well, we live our life like everybody else. We wake up, we do all that sort of stuff. It's only an issue sometimes when we go to gatherings, I feel as if, and this might be just me, I'm not saying that anybody consciously puts these vibes out to me, but I feel somehow that we are, you know, somewhat of a novelty and therefore have some sort of responsibility to, you know, represent whatever minority group that people look at us as representing. And yes, we have actually had people ask us if we could do a little bit of educating around what it's like to be a family of color, or when I was a single mom, that was another, I was in that minority group. It gets tedious, and I refuse to do it, and I try to refuse in a, you know, polite way. But it really is only an issue when we are out and about amongst gatherings of other homeschoolers. But on a day-to-day basis, this is just who we are, so it's not an issue because we just live our life as, you know, regular people.
How about your children? Do they feel that difference? Do they notice the difference, or do they feel by making that choice to homeschool, is it further emphasizing differences in their life?
Yes. Yes, it does. And I think that's something that'll probably work itself out with maturity. I know that my 15-year-old very much feels the difference being a young black man, and he's heavily involved in scouting in a scout troop. There are a few other black boys in his scout troop, but he's since moved up to the other group, so actually he left them behind now, and he is the only one. It's something that you get used to, I suppose. However, being homeschooled on top of it does make him feel a bit of an oddball, I suppose. And I think it's probably one of the reasons why he's deciding to go to high school. And I think that's part and parcel of figuring out who you are as an adolescent. And hopefully it'll work itself out, because I know that my 20-year-old is quite comfortable with being different. He's very, very sure of himself and very confident about who he is, very firm in his identity as a black man, as somebody who's been homeschooled. He'll speak to anybody about it, and he's quite comfortable with it. So I'm hoping that with my 15-year-old, that'll turn out that way for him too, that the whole business about figuring out who you are in this society, in this world, comes eventually. I mean, I'm still trying to figure it all out here. When I first heard about homeschooling, my oldest child was in grade 3. So he was quite, you know, he was a little guy. He was only about 9 at the time. So thoughts of stereotyping black men weren't even entering my head at that time. I was more concerned about him being stereotyped at school because he was from a single-parent home. Mm-hmm. And so I dealt with that a lot in a lot of my dealings with his teachers and things like that. And I did, I also was a teenage mom when I was only 17 when I had him. And I was always very, very, very conscious about how people looked at us, being a teenage mom and then being a single mom and so on. And having them look at us and seeing stereotypes stamped all over us. That wasn't an issue for me back then. Mm-hmm. And I did very consciously do certain things, behave in certain ways to, you know, step out of that stereotype. I really did. And in terms of homeschooling, my reasons were for diving into it were mainly personal. I wanted to have more control and more say in his education. I didn't necessarily feel that whoever it was that wrote the curriculums and policies and things like that had my child's best interest at heart. And, you know, I mean, they can't. They've got millions of children to deal with, but I didn't think that necessarily that the things that they did were going to benefit him in the best way that possibly could. It's only as they get older, as my son got older, and he started moving out into the world on his own without me being there to protect him, it's only then that those sorts of things started occurring to me. Like, you know, I wonder what people are going to think of him and so on. And my 20-year-old is one of those young black men, unfortunately, who've been stopped by the police an inordinate amount of times in our neighborhood. So when I remember the first time that it happened, I was enraged, and it did cross my mind, as I called the police station to complain about why they stopped my son. It crossed my mind to say to them, this is a homeschooled child. What are you, crazy? Homeschooled children don't get in trouble. Why are you stopping him just because he's black? But he's homeschooled too. Don't you know that that makes everything okay? That makes him really, really, really okay? But it did cross my mind in thinking, you know, people will look at him and they won't know. They will not know all of the great things and this wonderful way of living that we have, mm-hmm. meaning homeschooling, because they'll only see that, well, he is, you know, he's a black guy, baggy pants and big hair, and that's all they'll see. And that really, really is very frustrating, because there's so much more than that.
This little song that I'm singing about, people you know it's true. If you black and gotta work for a living now, this is what they will say to you. This is, if you was white, you'd be all right. If you was brown, stick around. But as you black, oh brother, get back, get back, get back. I was in a place one night, they were all having fun. They was all buying beer and wine, but they would not sell me none. They said, if you was white, you'd be all right. If you was brown, could stick around. But as you black, oh brother, get back, get back, get back. I went to an employment office. I got a number and I got in line. They called everybody's number, but they never did call mine. They said if he was white, you'd be all right. If he was brown, you could stick around. But as you black, oh brother, get back, get back, get back. Me and a man working side by side, this is what it meant. They was paying him $1 an hour, and they was paying me 50 cents. They said, if you was white, you'd be all right. If you was brown, you'd stick around. But as you black, oh brother, get back, get back, get back. I built the country, and I fought for it too. Now I guess that you can see what a black man have to do. He says, if you's white, she's all right. If you's brown, you stick around. But as you black, oh brother, get back, get back, get back. I hope win sweet victory with my little plow and hoe. Now I want you to tell me, brother, what you're gonna do about the old Jim Crow. Now if you's white, she's all right. If you's brown, stick around. But if you're black, brother, get back, get back, get back.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
When I first decided to homeschool, I have a very large extended family, first of all, and they're quite used to me doing, you know, things that are a little bit different and off the wall. I sort of set that up long years before homeschooling came into the picture. So that's a bit of advice I have to people. If you're thinking about it, start acting weird now. So by the time you start homeschooling, they'll just say, oh yeah, whatever. My mother was very supportive. My mother is very religious and is always, you know, outraged by all the things she hears that happens in schools and in the school system and so on. So she was very supportive of me homeschooling in the beginning. And I wouldn't say that she's not supportive anymore, but I think she'd like to see us being far more schoolish than we are. But she's still working that out. I have a cousin of mine who homeschools. Unfortunately, she lives all the way in Nova Scotia. My best friend homeschools, and we often do things together. I know my way around the internet, and I know my way around, I used to be a subscriber to Growing Without Schooling. Mm-hmm. That was a really major source of support, but that's not around anymore. And as the years go by, I find I need less and less props, I guess you can say. I like to get together with other homeschoolers to talk about what it's like, but I no longer need, I used to need to read and I used to absorb all of these articles and stuff that sort of prove why homeschooling is really good. And I don't feel the need for that anymore. Mm-hmm. After 10 years, I guess. Most of the support that I need now is, you know, sharing ideas and resources, things like that, real practical kind of things. And I have that. I have that in my friend and my cousin and other people I know who homeschool. Just give them a call and say, hey, you know, have you got any ideas for such and such and whatever? And, of course, the internet, which is a fantastic resource for ideas.
How about your challenges?
Oh, yeah, money. Oh, that's a challenge. There's so many things that I would love for us to do, but we can't because we can't afford it. You know, lessons and classes that I would like the kids to take or things that I'd like to buy for us to try or programs that we'd like to get involved in that we just can't because they're just too costly. Also, we have a large family, you know, 5 kids, and because we don't have a lot of money, the money gets stretched even thinner because there's so many more people that it has to cover. And, of course, my house is in a constant of disorder. So I that's always a challenge. Day-to-day things are a challenge. How do I get my, you know, get over this reading hump? Those things are my challenges now. Mm-hmm. And trying to fit all of my stuff in, finding time for myself, finding time for other outside interests that I might have, because I do the majority of the hands-on homeschooling stuff in the house because my husband is out working all day. My last 2 children are very close together, so that was a little bit difficult. But having my first 2 sort of spread out a little bit helped a lot, because they were able to help out a lot with the little kids. So time, money, and too much stuff in my house. We don't have an absolute or definite Afrocentric slant to our homeschooling. Well, first of all, I don't use any sort of curriculum. I just pull ideas out of my head. It just seems and feels natural to me to include a different perspective on anything that we are looking at or studying. If we're reading a book, for instance, about my daughter is interested in finding out about pioneers. So we were reading a novel about pioneers, but at the same time, I always remind myself that it's important for her to know the other perspective, too, that while the pioneers were happily building log cabins in the woods, what were our people doing? Mm-hmm. What were their lives like at that time? What were the lives of the Aboriginal people like at that time? It has to be told. They need to know. They have to know that. They need to know that there's always more than one side to the story. When we're talking about science things and who invented what and so on, I've made it a point to find out what sorts of inventions people of color have had a hand in and things like that. And it just sort of happens naturally, I think. I don't make a really concerted effort to make our curriculum Afrocentric, because we don't use a curriculum, number one. And number two, it just is that way. When we read poetry, we read Maya Angelou, we read Langston Hughes, we read poems by people of color. Because that's who we are, that's just who we gravitate towards. And sometimes it's not that way. Some, you know, when we're doing math, we're just doing math. I wish that there was a more casual networking amongst homeschoolers, particularly among homeschoolers of color, families of color. Like I said earlier, I've been involved in a lot of this sort of structured, real formal organizations, and they're great. They're great for the purposes that they serve. At this point in time, I'm looking more for a social aspect. There just are not that many homeschoolers of color, and they're few and far between, and they certainly don't get involved in a lot of the organizations that are out there right now. You will see black families at the major conferences and things like that, but that would be something that I would welcome in our day-to-day life, sort of casual get-togethers, kids play together, or even skill sharing, I think, would be a really great thing. I know how to do this, so I'll show you how to do that. We'll sort of trade off our talents and our skills, because that would take care of a lot of the things that, you know, well, I can't afford to pay for all my kids to take piano lessons. But what if you know how to play the piano? Could you do it? What if I know how to, you know, I don't know, decorate cakes or whatever? How about we trade that way or something? I wonder sometimes, is it fear? Is it just plain old feeling that, well, I can do it myself and I don't need anybody else? Or what is it? I really don't know.
A baby is born, but what's his destiny? Black in a white world. When will we gain the freedom that we seek? Must we remain a slave to this thief? There is no justice, there's only grief, when you're black in a white world. Sometimes I cry, but what good does it do? To thine own self be true. My child is born, but what's he gonna do? Black in a white world.
listening to Radio Free School.
I'm Adam Lim. I'm 20 years old. I've been homeschooled since I was about 12 or so, up until, well, until high school was finished. Born up here, and my parents, my mom is from Jamaica, my father's from Antigua. Basically, a mutual decision. Both of us decided that it would be the best idea for me to go ahead with homeschooling, and it was something that I felt I wanted to do from the beginning, because at the time, at 12 years old, I didn't feel as if the school system was giving me enough of what I wanted to know and what I wanted to learn. It was basically trapping me down into the whole system of learning along with the curriculum, and I wanted to do other things and broaden my horizons, and I felt homeschooling was a better decision to go about doing that. I just felt that I wanted to know more, and I wanted to learn more. So I didn't think the school system could offer that, and living in an area like we lived in with the school didn't have a very good reputation at the time, so it wasn't as if I was craving to go to that high school. In school, I was taught a lot of medieval time stuff, things that I really didn't think would apply to what I wanted to go about doing and what I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn more about my people's history and some more history in the world in general, more mm-hmm. philosophy, more psychology, and more about sports, to be more specific, football, which is something that I'm pursuing right now. The school system wasn't ready to offer me that yet. They were still stuck back in the let's do medieval times, because that's what is written in the book and that's what we have to do at this certain time. So the structure was just very constricting.
When you left the school environment and started mm-hmm. homeschooling, did you miss having the social aspect?
I did. I did it initially in the beginning, but I began to realize that if this is something that I wanted to do, then I'd have to separate myself from the whole social thing inside school, which isn't really that much of a big deal when I think about it now. In my opinion, is you can have just as much social fun and make as much friends outside of school as you can when you're in school.
Totally.
How many people do you know that you've gone to school with now at the age that you are? You lose contact with those people anyways. So it's not as if I was in fear that, oh, I wasn't going to have any friends. I make friends outside of school. When I got my job doing volunteer work in football, I was in the Royal Canadian Air Cadets. So I made friends all around outside of school, friends that are older than myself. You know, I made adult friends. So it taught me to be more mature than the other kids my age anyway. So it was something that it was easily substituted, because I'm very close with the people in my family. I think I should turn to them more often now, but my mother has been the biggest mentor in my life. Not having my father around, it's something that I felt was, she felt she needed to take that father role, and she did it well. She still is my mentor. Mm-hmm. There is a couple other people that I do turn to for advice and for just support and comfort whenever I feel like I need some sort of guidance. But I mean, my mother is basically the first person that I turn to when I'm having problems with anything or I need an answer to something. The one biggest challenge I think would be just the fact that there's a lot of freedom involved with homeschooling. And I know that sounds strange, because it's freedom is something that everybody wants to have. But when you have a lot of freedom, sometimes you tend to be complacent and you tend to be a little bit lazy with your work. For a while, I did struggle with realizing I had all this time on my hands and I had all this ability and freedom to do whatever I wanted to do, and I didn't take advantage of it when it needed to be taken advantage of. So I think that is the main advice that I would give to somebody else that's homeschooling, is to take advantage of the opportunity that homeschooling presents to you. In terms of it being detrimental to my education, I don't think it has been. You know, I've learned so many things just from living my life that you can't learn in school. So there's a lot of people that envy my situation, but they really didn't realize what it was that I was trying to do. They were looking at it as, oh my gosh, you don't have to go to school anymore, you're lucky, you know. But at the same time, you know, it's not that I'm coming out of school and I'm not doing anything. I still have to do my work. There's a lot of my friends that were envious of that, and there's other people that really were like, huh, what is that? What's homeschooling? And I really had to explain it to them and sit them down. But there isn't too many people that are opposed to the decision that I made. I think when you're in school, as a person of color, when you're in the school system, it gives you, it almost forces you to go along with the stereotypes that present themselves in today's society. Mm-hmm. When you're homeschooled, you choose to separate yourself from everybody else, and you're going against the grain. So I think when I removed myself from school, it stopped me from becoming what you see in the news, and it enabled me to realize what life was all about. So when you're in school, you know, you're forced to, you have peer pressure. You're forced to go along with what everybody else is doing at the time and the popular culture and what's going on. You get alienated more when you're in school than I would say than when you're homeschooled.
You get the whole thing of, well, not everybody can afford to take their kids out anyway. And
right.
And the consequences are that you have to pretty much, you know, if you have less money, that's just the way it goes.
If your family has little money, you're going to have little money regardless of what you're doing. If you're in school, you're going to have little money. If you take your kids out of school, if your family that has low income, you're going to have a low income. So you can't use that as an excuse as to why you can't take your kid out of school and learn.
Do you want to just talk a bit about your plans for the future?
Well, right now I'm working. I work full-time at a call center in Richmond Hill. I just recently was promoted to a coach or monitor position. So basically what I'm doing is I'm listening to the people, the representatives on the floor, listening to their calls and giving them advice as to how they can improve their conversations on the phone for quality assurance. I'm looking towards getting to school, possibly York University or U of T, to take a major in psychology because that's a route that I really want to take. I found that myself growing up in my small circle of friends, I was more of the person that they looked to for advice and whatnot, even though I was the youngest one in the group. And I felt that I can turn that counseling sort of aspect and turn that into something that I want to do. I'm also a head coach of a football team of ages 11, 12, and 13-year-olds. I just got the head coaching job for that. I don't want to go down the road of possibly sports consultant / psychology in the future. I think the most important thing for people of color and youth of color to realize is to not be afraid of learning, not to be afraid of getting out there, getting to know other people, whether it be your own people, whether it be people of different race or different ethnicity. Go out there and mingle with that, because the world, you can't lock yourself into a box, exclude people from your life just because you feel you want to keep this certain pride in your heart. If you spread your love and you spread your knowledge towards other people, you're going to get that back regardless of any circumstance. It's a law that is strong and steadfast in the world. So if you just open your mind to other ideas, which homeschooling would give you, you'll be able to fly.
I treat this like my thesis, well-written topic broken down into pieces. I introduce, then produce words so confused. It's abuse how I juice up this beat like I'm Deuce. Two people, both equal like I'm Gemini. I'd rather Simeon. If I Jimmy on this lock, I can pop it. You can't stop it, drop it. Your whole crew microscopic like particles while I make international articles and on the cover. Don't discuss the baby mother business. I've been in this dirt up, you can't tell me I witnessed first-handed. I'm candid, you can't stand it. Respect demanded and get flown around the planet. Rock hard like granite or steel, people feel. Lauren Hill from Newark to Israel. And this is real, so I keep making the street ballads while you looking for dressing to go with your tall salad. You get the money, get the power, keep your eyes on. Focus from the richest to the brokest. I wrote this opus to reverse the hypnosis. Whoever closest to the line gon' win it. You gon' fall trying to ball while my team win the pennant. I'm about to be in it for a minute, then run for Senate. Make a slumlord be the tenant. Give his money to kids to spend it. And then a minute, every law that ever prevented our survival. Documented in the Bible like Moses and Aaron. Things gon' change, it's apparent. And all transparent. Gon' be seen through. Let God redeem you. Keep your deen true. You can get the
green too. Watch out who.
The end.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.